strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
Murray's gonna score! Touchdown!
Slammed to the ground by Buda Baker.
Like a torpedo, he came flying into the backfield.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford and Gilbert. Right on the price. Right on the corner of the Santan 202 Freeway in Val Vista. SeatGeek, your ticket to great seats. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcast.
The Red Sea is rising up!
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
I'm ready. I'm 100% ready. I'm telling you I'm ready.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
Well, now that everyone's bracket is busted, and Wolf, I know your bracket is busted like Jamarcus Russell was a bust once upon a time, like Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, Ryan Leaf were all busts. The good news is, Wolf, that now it's time to return to talking football, okay?
Yeah, Paulie, and it wasn't my bracket, by the way. It was BPI's.
I see. Even though I nailed Duquesne over BYU, ding. The real March Madness is the NFL offseason, if I dare say so, my own self over here. Last week we had the free agency frenzy. This week the pro days are out there, all tracking towards next month and the NFL draft. It is the Big Red Rage with Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and we're putting the big into Big Red Rage tonight. Bilal Nichols, the free agent defensive lineman, going to join us. And we'll talk about being one of those big boys in the trenches, all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford and Wolf. We'll get to Bilal Nichols here momentarily. But at least now, if you had to play a game, boom, you are armed and ready along that defensive line. Are you not?
No, you got to feel really good about those moves right there. A couple of pros, Paulie, and Justin Jones, of course, and Bilal Nichols. Those two guys, listen, we all know the Arizona Cardinals number 32 in rushing yards per game allowed. Those two guys are going to go a long, long way in tightening up that line of scrimmage. That's exactly what they needed.
You know what? Jonathan Gannon, Monty Asenfort met the media this week. And Monty said, look, durability was definitely a part of the equation, no doubt. And in signing these free agents, it was intentional in that they found guys based on the film that fit the scheme of Nick Rollis and Jonathan Gannon. Jonathan Gannon, by the way, he was asked about the free agents and how many guys cited the culture and his energy and sort of the feel-good vibe. And he joked, Jonathan Gannon, he said, yeah, well, they'll be singing a different tune when I get them out on the field and I start running them around in the offseason. So we're going to hear from Monty Asenfort. We're going to hear from Jonathan Gannon. In fact, we'll hear from Jonathan Gannon a little bit later on Sean Murphy Bunting, who I don't think is really getting enough play right now. And as we surmised, he is a JG guy. But let's start with the top of the draft here, because Monty Asenfort, I don't know if he was talking to the media or if he was talking to the rest of the NFL, but here's what he said about whether he's been getting calls or not at number four overall.
You know, I'd say those phone calls are starting to pick up a little bit. You know, I would say they'll probably continue into next week when we go down to Florida for the owners' meetings. I would imagine some of those conversations will continue to pick up. You know, but honestly, they probably will not get real serious until we get right up until the week of the draft, similar to last year.
And I asked him as a fob, okay, how much of the groundwork is done leading up to draft day if indeed you're going to pull a trade? Oh, like you did twice in the first round last year. And he said, yes, absolutely. You do lay a lot of the groundwork, but perhaps you don't always get your best offer until you're on the clock.
Yeah, no, you're right about that, Paulie. But to answer your earlier speculation on this, there's no doubt he was talking to the rest of the league, Paul. You know what? I hate that. There's the media. That's great. I'm going to get up in front of the media, but tis the season, Paulie. You know it. The season of subterfuge right now. The new league year, every time that comes around, that really kicks it off for me. The free agent period that follows the new league year, of course, and then bada bing, bada boom, here comes the draft. Tis the season, and that's exactly what he's doing. He's trying to talk to the rest of the league and let them know what they're thinking. And their thinking is, we are open for business at number four, because why would you ever limit yourself as to your options?
So just over a month out from the NFL draft, can I say that the Arizona Cardinals are at the epicenter of where this draft turns, at the pivot point, if you will? If QB is going 1-2-3, and since Chicago went ahead and got rid of Justin Fields, it certainly appears quarterbacks going 1-2-3. Maybe this draft really starts at number 4.
Yeah, no, you're right about that, Paulie. It does appear that way right now. Now, appearances can change. There's no denying that, right? But, you know, when you think about it, 1-2-3, we all assume those three quarterbacks are going to go right there. The draft starts at number 4. And, you know, this is something you and I have gone back and forth on, Paulie, and whether or not you're going to trade out a number 4 and whether you should trade out a number 4 and maybe you should just stay there and take a guy like, oh, I don't know, Marvin Harrison Jr., and I'm in the danger zone on Marvin Harrison Jr. But I honestly, the closer we get to the draft, Paul, I think there's going to be a level of desperation for one NFL team to get a quarterback. They're going to give Monty Osenford basically the moon at number 4.
And for that reason, I do not have my heart set on Marvin Harrison Jr. because I just think another team is going to make up the mind for Monty Osenford. They're going to make him an offer he can't refuse. And he was asked as a follow-up, okay, what do you mean? How open are you exactly when it comes to dealing that pick at number 4?
There'll be a big neon sign that says open, and we'll, I don't like it blinking. That kind of messes with my eyes, but yeah, we're always going to be listening. We'll always have the conversation, whether it's at 4 or anywhere we're picking, but we're always going to have the conversation. And if it makes sense and if it's attractive to building our team, it's something that we'll certainly consider no matter where we're at in the draft.
I just think one of those teams is going to make him an offer that's irresistible. That'll be a no-brainer.
Like, Paulie, if you had to pick one, which one would that be right now?
Well, if it's Minnesota and it's 11-23, which they have, okay? Honestly, I don't think that's enough. I know 11-23 on the Jimmy Johnson trade value chart equates exactly to somewhere between 3 and 4. That's not enough because there are three other teams who are going to want number 4, and there's a quarterback surcharge. I'm throwing a quarterback kicker into this, and then on top of that, look what happened last year. You thought you were going to get a top 5, top 10 pick, and then all of a sudden the risk is that you end up with number 27 overall, like you did with C.J. Stroud coming out of nowhere and D'Amico Ryan. So for all those reasons, it's got to be more than 2 first-round picks.
No, you're exactly right. You've got to be kidding me right now. You're going to move up? Are you telling me, Minnesota, you want to move up to number 4 from number 11 right now? You might want to go look at Trey Lance and what it took for the 49ers, right? Yep. I mean, you might want to look at that deal because that's what we're talking about right now. Okay, we'll take 11-23, and oh, by the way, we'll take your first-round pick next year. I'm just saying, 3 number ones, I think that could be a possibility, and if you're desperate enough, that's exactly what you're going to do. Right now, why would you limit yourself? Of course, you're going to take every call, every inquiry that is out there, and you're going to make the other guys believe that you are going to be the very thing that ruins their draft. That's what you're trying to make them believe. You want to breed desperation with them, and the only way you can actually do that, Paulie, is to take calls and communicate.
The best case scenario to me is the New York Giants at 6. Because then you only go down 2 spots and you still get one of those top 3 elite receivers. That, to me, is the best-case scenario. Speaking of, Marvin Harrison Jr. opted out of his pro day this week. Big deal or no deal to you?
I know, Paulie. It really isn't. Listen, I'm in the danger zone on Marvin Harrison Jr. I talk about it all the time. I absolutely love this kid. But I will admit it's starting to grind on me. I am an old-school guy. I do not apologize for that whatsoever. I'm just like, I understand you've got so much to lose. That's what you're saying. I've got so much to lose. Well, you know what? You're thinking your way through this as opposed to just feeling your way through this thing. And to me, I want a competitor. I want somebody who is going to challenge himself and compete. And that's why I was a little disappointed when he did not actually participate in his pro day. I think the combine, I can understand why you might not do that if you're the number one prospect, especially at the wide receiver position. But the pro day and skipping the pro day, man, I did not dig that.
Yeah, and I get it. It's the risk reward, right? I mean, how much can you gain by, I mean, he's already considered the top receiver in the draft, the top position player in the draft, arguably. Yeah. So ostensibly, you can only lose, right, draft status with a subpar workout. But when Roma Dunze is out there doing everything,
yes,
and he's asked why he's doing everything, and he says because it's all about competing.
I know, Paul.
And I'm not just competing with these guys. I'm competing against everybody who's ever competed in a combine. I want to compare myself over history.
Okay, Paul.
Hello. So,
I mean, think about it, though, Paulie. How many times do you hear a general manager say, you miss on the person, right?
Right.
Not the player, the person. Yeah. Well, this is where Roma Dunze, to me, is separating himself.
When Marvin Harrison Jr., and it's echoed by his father, say, it's more important for me to rest in the offseason. I just, by the way, the headline out of the USC Pro Day, Caleb Williams ends Pro Day with 70-yard bomb. Oh, man, okay. We've been there and done that before. All right, he hasn't missed a game since 2019. Bilal Nichols is next on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Look at this. Ball's on the ground. It's picked up by the Raiders. But they have a touchdown with Nichols. The Raiders pick it up and rumble into the end zone. Bilal Nichols just grabbed it from right on the turf.
Snap, back to pass. Pressure again off the edge. And he's sacked for the safety. Nichols in the end zone. Squished into the turf. And the Raiders defense has that safety.
You know, with all the analytics out there these days and the stats, that needs to be a new one. Squish. You know, a defensive lineman, a squish. Mm-hmm. You know, that's some extra. That's super extra on top of a regular tackle or a sack. As we welcome you back into the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert, we're definitely putting the big into Big Red Rage right now. All 6'3", 313 pounds of him, Bilal Nichols joins us fresh off signing on the line that has dotted a three-year deal. Just tell us, welcome to the Red Sea. Welcome to the AZ, Bilal. And just tell us about that moment and what it meant to you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I mean, it's truly a blessing. First and foremost, you know, I would like to thank God and, you know, thank him for blessing me and allowing me to be able to go out there and play the game of love. But I also would love to thank Mr. Michael, Coach Gannon, you know, Coach Ross, and Coach LeBlanc. You know, just for believing in me and, you know, giving me an opportunity to be able to go out there and showcase what I can do and, you know, help this team win games.
That moment when you're putting pen to paper, right? I mean, there are achievements in the game, obviously, mm-hmm. and we can look at the box score, but that's a proud moment as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you earn the right to wear an NFL uniform for mm-hmm. another 3 years.
Yeah, I take a lot of pride in that. You know, this was a vision that I had as a child, and you know where I come from, these type of things aren't done like at all, really, you know. So for me, you know, getting that call, feeling that moment, so many emotions coming over me, so many different feelings, gratitude, thankfulness, you know, all of those things like played a huge role. And I just can't wait to go out there and get this organization everything I got, you know, just for believing in me. I just want to show them that I'm gonna give you everything I got each and every single day I walk in this building.
Did you flash back at one moment to maybe your college days, you know, the Delaware Fighting Blue Hens, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you know, there's not a ton of NFL production.
Mm-hmm.
And so you defied the odds.
Yeah, it was it's crazy you say that, because the moment I got the call, that's exactly what I thought about. I thought about all those times walking from class to my apartment, you know, just, you know, all the things I had to do to grind to get to where I was at today, and all the things that made me into the person I am today and to help develop my character and how I wanted to carry myself. All those things came back to my mind, and it was just such a surreal moment.
So when you, and I know you know this, talking to Monty Austin Ford, the GM, Jonathan Gannon, the head coach, they're looking for specific type of players to insert in the lineup and to factor into the culture. What do you hope they saw in your film? What do you hope they experienced when they met you? Tell us about Bilal Nichols.
Yes, sir. You know, when they check the film, I hope they see a dude out there that's playing with passion, that's heavy-handed, that's very determined to get off of blocks and make plays and do whatever he has to do to allow his team to win, whether that's playing, you know, every position on the line or wherever I'm needed at. I'm the guy that I'm willing to do whatever it is I got to do to help us win. You know, so that's what type of person they're getting on the field, just a straight dog, somebody who's relentless, not scared, going to push his teammates, want his teammates to push him, and going to go out there and give you my best each and every day. And
how about your positional flexibility? Is it? I've heard a couple people say you can play inside, you can play more of the five technique. Just tell us about what sort of, in what different ways maybe Nick Rollis can use you as a DC.
Yeah, you know, that was something that I always try to pride myself on, being a versatile player. I always believed if you could do multiple things very well, then you'll keep a job. You know, so, you know, I've had, you know, I've played five tech in my career since I've been in the NFL. I played 4-eye, I played 3-tech, I played 2-eye, I played shade, I played head up over the center, nose. Like, I've literally played every position on the front. So, you know, just providing that versatility, you know, for Coach Rollis, like wherever he want to put me at, you just know I'm rocking with him. I'm ready to go, Coach.
I'm just guessing because the D&D line last year for the Arizona Cardinals stood for decimated, so many injuries. And your track record of durability, availability, reliability, knock on wood over here, right? You haven't missed a game since 2019.
Yes, sir.
What do you attribute that to?
Oh, man, I attribute that to, you know, just me putting an emphasis on my body. I realized that my body is a business. And, you know, if I want to get the best out of my body, I have to put the best in it. So a lot of that credit goes to me just taking care of my body, putting in extra work. A lot of that goes to my trainer, Jamil Morrell, that I've been working with since I was 18 years old, constantly pushing my body to new heights and constantly doing a lot of prevention to prevent injuries, to allow me to stay on the field for a long time. And that's something I take pride in. Like, I take pride in the fact that when people look at me, you can't say I miss games. Like, and that's just being real. I'm always out there on the field, and I'm always going to be out there on the field. And I take pride in that.
Your head coach always keeps it real. A couple of the newcomers, right, I've mentioned meeting Jonathan Gannon, right? As we like to say, the JG rhymes with energy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, contagious.
Yes. And then they're like, you can tell. It's not fake.
No, it's not. Like, I'm talking about energy. Like, the energy is contagious. Like, it's being spread with throughout the building. Like, as soon as you talk to him, you feel like you got to match his energy.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? And,
yes.
And that's a great feeling. Like, oh, man, I can't wait to get to work with him.
That's good stuff. Bilal Nichols is our guest. All right, so your first career sack was against Matthew Stafford, if I'm seeing here. Your second career sack was against Kirk Cousins. Who's still on the list? You know, I'd like to ask these defensive linemen edge guys, all right, who would you like to sack?
Who would I like to sack? I would love to get that's a good question, actually. I would love to get any quarterback from our division. Let's put it like that.
There you
all
go.
All of them.
That's a good one.
So
that's a good one.
That's it.
All right, I'm going to flash back to week two, 2022. You were playing for the Raiders, and you, from your perspective, remind everybody what Kyler Murray did. Legendary, epic stuff.
Oh, man.
I mean, as a defensive lineman, where were you during that play, and how well do you remember that play?
Yeah, that first of all,
and I'm talking about the 20-second scamper for the 2-point conversion.
Yeah, I know exactly what play you're talking. No, first of all, you know, credit to Kyler for making that play. That's tremendous, tremendous player for first and foremost. You know, actually, it's funny because that play, I happened to be on the sideline because it was a long drive, if I remember correctly. The Cardinals had the ball for a very long time and marched down the field, and I believe it may have been like at least 15 to 16 play drive, and I remember vividly watching that play on the sideline, and I'm seeing him running, and it felt like he was running for a minute long. Like, it felt like forever.
Yes.
And in my head, I'm like, no way. He's going backwards. He's going side to side. He's going forward everywhere. And when I seen him get the job done and get that ball in the end zone, I was like, that's a dog. That's a dog. Like, you know, that was something that you never want to be on the opposite side of that, but it was great to witness.
Well, look, you just hear defensive linemen talk about how frustrating and how vexing it is to chase those guys around. Mm-hmm. You tell us from your perspective, especially, look, Patrick Mahomes, the greatest in the game, when he has to extend a play, he extends a play. I mean, how brutal is that? How tough is that to defend as a D lineman?
Oh, man, it's tough. It's tough. You know, it's one of those things that you can't allow it to demoralize your defense. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, these are great players. You know that they're going to scramble. You know that these are things that make them great. You know, it's just about keeping your poise and realizing that you know that they're going to try to do these things and just having a counter for it. and just keeping everybody on the same page. Everybody got a responsibility. If your job is to contain the edge, you contain the edge. If your job is to push the middle, you push the middle. If you got a one-on-one and your job is to win, you go win. Everybody has to do their job. So I think that when you're playing quarterbacks of that caliber, that's when the important D-line play come in, and we all got to be on the same page.
Bilal Nichols is our guest here on the Big Red Rage. So I'm sure you're aware, Cardinals finished dead last in rush defense a year ago. As we mentioned, they were absolutely devastated by injury up front. So tell us about how important that is in your mind, because we always hear and you know all the stats about passing. Mm-hmm. How critical is it to stop the run in the NFL 2024?
Oh, it's very important. That's a mindset, point blank, period. I mean, when I look at if you could run the ball or stop the run, I think about how tough you are. Because that's something that not everybody built to do. Not everybody built to run the ball, not everybody built to stop the run. So to me, that's a toughness thing. You know what I'm saying? That's the, coming in every day with that mindset. You're not running this ball on us.
Right.
And that's how I'm coming in here. You're not running this ball on us. And, you know, and something that I want to do is I want to pass that energy to all of my teammates. I want it to be contagious. I want all of us to have that same mindset, to have that same vision, that same goal. You know what I'm saying? You don't do that to us.
I'm guessing your 4 years in Chicago with the Bears, right? Playing in that division, playing some of those outdoor games. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that only fortified your toughness.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was blessed enough to play with, you know, dudes like Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, Khalil Mack. You know, Max, mm-hmm. I've been fortunate enough to play with some dogs up front. And, you know, over my course of the years, that was one thing I noticed each one of those players I just named had in common. They had that same mindset every day. And if you didn't have that mindset, it was going to be an issue.
And you know what? That's something that the new culture is trying to instill in this team. There's no doubt about it. So, all right, you go from Vegas to Arizona. You're staying in the desert.
Yes,
so do you enjoy the desert lifestyle?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm loving every single minute of it. I'm so appreciative.
Hey, it is so great to have you. I mean, you know, and it's a short jaunt coming from Vegas, and now you're coming to the Cardinals. And I'm guessing you noticed between you and Justin Jones, a lot of money invested in defensive line. It's an area of need. So looking forward to getting to know you and looking forward to seeing you out in the field, Bilal. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
There you go. The newest Arizona Cardinal in that defensive line room. Once again, 3 years. $21 million reportedly, age 27, right in his prime, year number 7, started all 17 games the last 2 years. Looking forward to putting his name into the lineup, no doubt about it. We continue with the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert, back right after this.
Royce Freeman in the backfield, offers a block right up the middle. They come, Mack Wilson comes through like a rocket.
Has time, and that one is picked off. Mack Wilson again with a terrific play.
Screen from McKinnon. Tackle from behind. Got absolutely ripped by Mack Wilson.
It's intercepted at the 30. Down the sideline to the 50-yard line. It's Murphy bunting to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10. Sean Murphy bunting is my hero.
Line drive thrown down the middle, and it was intercepted on a falling down pick. Sean Murphy bunting has just picked off a pass of Aaron Rodgers.
Fumbles the ball on the far side, and it's scooped up. It's picked up by Murphy Bunting, running right to left at the 30.
Mahomes throwing all the way through an interception. And on the return, Sean Murphy Bunting.
How about that? You knew it was going down when he tweeted out the hashtag BirdGang, Sean Murphy Bunting. One of a half dozen plus free agents signing on the line that is dotted. We cited on the Red Sea Report earlier this week. Welcome back to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. Special thanks once again to Big Bilal Nichols. That was good stuff there from the Cardinals' new defensive lineman. You talk about running the two-man game with Justin Jones. Those guys go way back. That's going to be good stuff and get to watch that. But as for Sean Murphy Bunting, Ron Wolfley, the holy cannoli stat, if you will, is he was a zero-star recruit coming out of high school, only to become a second-round selection in the NFL draft out of Central Michigan to Tampa. And then Rob Fredrickson cracked wise and said, well, Paul, that's finally something you know something about, a zero-star recruit. So it's been a tough
Paulie,
week.
What does that tell you, though? When you say that, what does that tell you about Sean Murphy Bunting?
That he's a JG guy? That he's that sort of mentality, right? Self-made, self-motivated.
Yes.
You know, obviously mentally tough, which you got to be to play cornerback, right?
Paulie, the resiliency that Sean Murphy Bunting has shown to be a zero-star recruit, and then you end up being a second-round pick coming out and playing 5 years in the National Football League and being a solid starter. He's one of the best 64 corners on the face of the planet, right? You got two corners that start on every football team. He is a starting cornerback in the National Football League, and I love his attitude and I love his history because what you see on tape is a guy that works super hard and takes nothing for granted.
And I still think corner is the sleeper position in the draft in round one for the Arizona Cardinals, whether it's Terrion Arnold or maybe Aquinion Mitchell. We'll see, because I think he will be paired with a top draft pick in the Cardinals secondary. We'll hear what JG had to say about Sean Murphy Bunting momentarily. Our Craig Grillo did the math, Ron Wolfley. Last year in the offseason, the first offseason, Monty Osvor, Jonathan Gannon, right? They spent $27 million plus guaranteed to 29 different players via free agency in the offseason. Already this year, to seven players, just under $80 million guaranteed.
Whoa.
So how often have we talked about it? They needed a full year to assess what they have, what they need, what they want, right?
Yep. Not only that, Paulie, you know, once again, it's a situation where this culture is established. It has been established. Going into last year, of course, it was just an idea. That's what culture is.
Yep.
It's just a thought, and you put a thought into words, and then you try to go and you try to fill those words and that thought with players that can actually model that culture to everybody else. They fit your culture, in other words. It was just kind of up in the air, pie in the sky, and you were trying to fill it with guys you think would be able to model that culture to everybody else. Now, all of a sudden, you know exactly. Paul, this is the thing that's got me so excited about the Arizona Cardinals and what they did this offseason with the free agent period right now, knowing exactly the kind of human being, the kind of person they wanted to come into this culture and play corner and play defensive tackle. These guys coming in to play these positions, man, to me, it makes their job so much easier to do. And it's the reason why now you're signing them to 3-year contracts, because you know these guys are going to be with you for years.
And it's amazing. You sign a guy to a long-term deal, and he has a long-time track record of availability, durability, right? Reliability.
Yes.
Including Mack Wilson. You heard some of those highlights. He only played 27% of the defensive snaps for New England last year, but really productive. And here's what Jonathan Gannon had to say. His first words on Mack Wilson.
Violent, high football character, can play multiple positions, fast, smart, tough. Excited to be here.
Yeah, that's what he likes about Mack Wilson.
I just love that, because you know why I love that right there, right? This is Sparta. Okay, this is the way the Spartans used to talk, Paul. They used to believe that what you say, the words you use to describe something, was the beginning of toughness. And that's what JG is. When JG says that right there, I absolutely love that violence. This is a football player that walks in between those white lines. Outside of the white lines, he's great. But inside those white lines, man, he is going to play the game with an attitude, in a physicality, in an aggressiveness that is uncommon right now. And I love what I see from Mack Wilson when I watch tape.
So, Wolf, as a guy who went to 4 Pro Bowls covering kickoffs, did you see his hit heard around the world as described by Jonah Williams, his former teammate at Alabama, when Mack Wilson was a freshman at Alabama, and what he did to that kick return, dude?
I did not, Paulie.
Oh boy. You got to go watch that. He just got destroyed, that return guy. And now Mack Wilson, towards the end of last year, they unleashed him off the edge. And it caught the attention recently of our own Kyle Vandenbosch, 3-time Pro Bowler, coming off the edge, getting after the quarterback. Here's what he had to say on the Red Sea Report.
I think this is the signing with the highest ceiling. I think he's got tremendous ability when he's lined up at an off-the-ball inside linebacker. He really does play sideline to sideline. He's got good closing speed. He's a physical linebacker, graded out really, really well. One of the top linebackers in the league when he was used in coverage. He graded out really well in coverage. He looks good in the run front. I think he could develop into a really reliable inside linebacker and even be used as an edge rusher. I mean, I saw tremendous get off, tremendous burst, and tremendous bend all three things that are assets for edge rushers. So you can use him in a number of ways, and I'm excited to see what he brings to this defense next year.
And based on last year, there's no doubt they're going to use him in a just a whole variety of roles. Maybe how we all envision Isaiah Simmons being used once upon a time. I could see Mack Wilson in a similar role.
Yeah, maybe, Paulie. But once again, I think you could just line him up at inside linebacker as well. Listen, in today's NFL, Paulie, you need two inside linebackers. And if you have two inside linebackers that don't come off the field unless they're in unusual situations, like down in distances, behind the chains, or weird personnel groups like 10 personnel with four wide receivers, I mean, unless you're in an unusual situation and you can leave two inside linebackers on the field, Paul, you've got a big advantage right there. You can, because you can go six in the box against 11 personnel and you can hold up against the run in rundown situations. And I think this is what the Arizona Cardinals might have. You got two guys, Kaiser White and Mack Wilson, who are good at the point of attack. And I also think, too, Paulie, here's my hot take, and I told you this.
Here we go.
The hot take, Paulie, the bold prediction, Mack Wilson plays Mike and Kaiser plays Will.
That's interesting. Really interesting.
And yet Kaiser still calls the plays.
When you talk about a pair of inside linebackers who don't come off the field, I automatically think of the Cardinals' division rival, the 49ers, Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw.
Bingo.
And the underrated aspect of their loss in the Super Bowl is when Greenlaw just tore his Achilles, right, and wasn't available the rest of that game. That was huge because we know what happened when Kaiser White missed the last seven games. All of a sudden, the Cardinals had serious liabilities in coverage, running backs out of the backfield, tight ends down the field. Kaiser was so good. From appearances, Mack Wilson is even more equipped in coverage.
Exactly.
He was one of the highest-rated coverage linebackers in the league.
Yeah, Paulie, and this is the thing that I'm thinking of. You know, that Mike backer, typically a little bit more butt to him than the weak side inside, right? That Mike backer's got a little bit more side. You take a look at Kaiser White, he's 234 pounds. You know, now that there's nothing wrong with that in today's NFL. That's inside linebacker stuff right there. But, man, you've got Mack Wilson, who's 6'1", 246 pounds. That, to me, Paul, is very, very appealing as a Mike linebacker to have a little bit more butt to be able to take on tight ends as well and run down the field with them.
As Monty Austin Ford said, look, there's an intentionality to who they sign. Not only durability, but versatility. All right, you see it in Mack Wilson, and you also see it in Sean Murphy bunting, and Jonathan Gannon talked about that.
You know, obviously he's played on very good defenses, won a Super Bowl. Has played left and right, he's played inside. He's a guy that I've done a lot of work on. It's kind of funny, kind of comes full circle now that we sign him. But when I was two teams ago, did him when he was coming out. And yeah, he's a really good player. He's played at a high level. He's a versatile player. And just like Mack, you know, high football character, loves ball. He's going to love it here.
I had to stifle myself during the press conference. I wanted to say, aha, I knew it! Because when we were interviewing Sean Murphy Bunting last week here on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert, I said, you know what, you seem like a JG guy. And sure enough, Jonathan Gannon said he studied Sean Murphy Bunting coming out of college a few years back. So really interesting that that's a good fit. What I think everyone wonders, Wolf, is that his numbers and ratings and metrics as an outside corner are not nearly as robust and as impressive as he was as a nickel slot corner. But he is hellbent on proving himself as an outside corner, and it looks like he does have a believer in the head coach.
Yeah, you know what, Paulie? I think this is interesting right here for a couple of reasons. Number one, I'm told he's a very versatile corner. This is a guy that can walk up over a wide receiver and play press. This is a guy that can back off and play in his zone room as well, Paulie. So he's very versatile for the most part. And the other thing I like about this is you cannot tell me. He played for the Tennessee Titans, of course, last year. And you cannot tell me that Monty Austin-Ford still doesn't have some tentacles inside of that organization, some relationships that he built in his 3 years of being there, that he could actually reference some of these guys. Would you say the grapevine is vast and varied in the NFL, Paulie? Would you say that's a true statement?
Even some of the personnel, like not just even the personnel department, but some of the regular football staffers inside the building who can give you good intel on a player and his makeup.
Exactly, Paul. So it's very interesting to me that Sean Murphy Bunting is here. It's a position of need. He is a pro. He is a starter. Once again, that's what we did. The big difference, I already talked a little bit about it, but going out and signing starters from other teams, where last year Monty went out and signed a lot of one-year contracts to guys who were depth players for the most part because they were building their culture, laying the foundation.
Yeah, and as JG says, you got to know before you invest in these players, at least ideally. So you got to figure out, all right, what's their makeup, what motivates them. And then you have some of the other guys that they went in on, right? Not only Mack Wilson, who finished really strong, but Akiris Tonga, that big defensive lineman from the Vikings, is going to play sort of that Leki Fotu role. He got 1 year, $400,000 guaranteed, but he really turned it on to the end of the year. So you're trying to buy low, sell high here with a couple of guys who, when they got their opportunities at the end of last season, they excelled, and then you're banking on the fact that maybe they pick up where they left off this season. Learn more about the – go ahead, Wolf.
No, Paulie, not only that, but LJ Collier. Keep your eye on that one, Paulie. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That defensive line, once again, keep your eye on Collier.
No doubt. Hey, speaking of the line, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the offensive line. The question you do not ask Jonathan Gannon between now and week one of the regular season. All right. He's half serious with the media. And what exactly did Monty Osifor mean when he used the word brutal about one aspect of this offseason? We continue with a Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
If you think that Kyler's not our future, you are a plumb fool. You know what I mean? I say that again. If you think that he's not our future, you are absolutely, you need to slow down on the drinking in the daytime. You know what I mean? Like, I know Scottsdale big on Sunday Funday, but you got to dial it back a little bit, you know?
Ooh, man, if I ain't got to look at five people at the same, if I could just focus on that end, if I could just block that dude right there that I got, it's a lot different when I got to look at this guy, that guy, and that guy. And if that guy moved, then I got to block that dude. But if he act like he going to move and he don't really come, then I got to go back on that dude. That's a whole bunch. Like, that is a lot, man. I'm pretty smart, but golly.
There's some guys in his locker room. There's some guys that got good material. I would say DJ, 74. He's a really good jokester.
Suggs said that about me?
I know. Don't tell him I told you.
Sis! You think I'm funny, bro?
Yeah, you funny as
I could die today, man. I'm happy. Sis thinks I'm funny. I made Sis laugh. We're good.
Talking about T-Sizzle, Terrell Suggs once upon a time, a surefire Hall of Famer eventually. There's a reason Ron Wolf, with a DJ Humphrey's name once upon a time, was on this show, The Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We're going to miss the big guy, aren't we?
No doubt about it, Paulie. He was so entertaining, so fun to be around, a great personality, a very, very strong man, of course, and yet at the same time, he was a dog on the football field, and I enjoyed his time here. And, you know, listen, you know that it's a mercenary league, Paulie. It really is. It always is going to be a mercenary league, and it always has been for the most part. And it makes you feel really, really good when you think of DJ as a man playing 9 years for the Arizona Cardinals and making over $80 million.
Yes.
I'm just saying, Paul.
Yeah, yeah. And look, the one constant in the NFL is change. That's why when you run when you run into other former players, you know, if you can get 10 years that like you did, I mean, it just seems it's such a signature accomplishment in the NFL. If you can actually get a 10-year career, I mean, not only you're the 0.1% of football players, but then you really achieved in pro football itself. And as evidence of that, you want to look at the last four draft classes prior to Monty Osifor. We're talking about 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022. Out of 32 players, only six remain from those four draft classes. Kyler from 2019, none from 2020. Leki Fotu is now with the Jets. He was the last remaining. 2021, Zaven and Victor Dimukeji. And then 2 years ago, 2022, Trey McBride, Cam Thomas, and Jesse Luketta.
That is stunning, Paul.
So these, especially if you have a new GM and a new head coach, they're going to turn the roster over. We know it. They've been hitting the big red reset button. And this offseason here recently, it included DJ Humphreys, formerly the longest tenured Cardinal. And here's what Monty Osifor had to say this week on the release of DJ Humphreys.
I can't say enough about how I feel about DJ as a football player and even more so as a person, just being around him and His energy and the leadership that he brought to this team, we're certainly going to miss him. You know, and I just hope nothing but the best for him and his recovery and his rehab. And, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen down the line? You know, like would have zero hesitation to bring DJ back.
Now that's interesting.
Yes, it is. Why, Paul?
Well, I mean, okay, there might be a future. DJ Humphries as an Arizona Cardinal once again. Look, the contract, obviously, it was over $15 million worth on the cap. He's over 30 years of age. He had the season-ending ACL tear in the second-to-last game of the year. So everything lined up. It just didn't make business sense, cap sense. But as Monty also pointed out, DJ Humphries is still going to have every resource available to him in rehab through the NFL and the Cardinals. So if indeed there's a point at which next season he's ready to go, and Cardinals might be in need of a swing tackle, a guy who's been there and done that on both sides of the line. I mean, you have Paris Johnson Jr., Jonah Williams, and then if Kelvin Beachum is still there, but I mean, there could always be room for a DJ Humphries at the right price.
There's no doubt about that, Paulie. And when I heard Monty Austin-Ford say that, when I heard him say that, it told me immediately that they must have parted on good terms.
Yeah.
You know, and yep. maybe there's a door that is still going to be open. They must have parted. It must have been an amicable situation when they departed on that. And that is really, really encouraging to me. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. It doesn't mean that. But to me, I was also thinking the same thing you were. I was very encouraged on that because it told me, hey, maybe this was an amicable situation.
So, meanwhile, now they have Paris Johnson Jr., who the NFL Network is reporting is going to left tackle. Jonah Williams has been signed. He had 3 years as a starting left tackle for the Bengals, and last year a starting right tackle. Okay, where exactly are these two guys going to line up when the season starts? And Jonathan Gannon knew the question was coming in his first media availability, and here was his answer.
Let's talk about this one for a minute here, because you guys are going to ask me 132 times. We will know who's playing where the Friday before we play week one. So when you guys ask me, where is this guy playing? Who's the starters? What are we doing? Blah, blah, blah. I don't know, guys. So you'll see week one.
So there you go.
I love that.
Okay.
I love that, Paulie. Where do you start on that one?
Well, look, I'll just say that Jonah Williams graded out better as a right tackle last season than he had the previous season at left tackle.
Correct.
And as the former number six player overall in the draft last season, a guy just starting his NFL career, I think Paris Johnson Jr. will be given every chance to nail down the left tackle spot. That's my gut feel.
Ding, 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 Paul. I think we have a winner right there. No, and why wouldn't you do that, honestly? When you stop and think about it right now, you got this young guy. You drafted him number six overall, did an excellent job at right tackle. Can he get better? Absolutely. He definitely can get better. He took every snap for you, though. Played in all 17 games and got better, I thought, as the season unfolded right now. This is a guy that you see as being one of your two best tackles, of course, on your team, and you need two in today's NFL, no doubt about it. Why not start him off at left tackle? Go ahead and do that because you did take him so high. Give him the opportunity to go out there and show to you he's not your left tackle. And, Paulie, guess what? That decision can be made before the regular season. That decision can be made even before you start playing games. If you don't, now, obviously, you're going to throw him out there anyways and watch him on tape during games. But even before that, they're going to have a really good idea as to whether or not Paris Johnson Jr. is going to be able to hold up at left tackle. And if not, guess what? You just happen to have this guy who played 3 years at left tackle and Jonah Williams who could flop over there. That's why that signing was so critical.
I think the other question it raises is, where will the Cardinals go in the draft, and is there a tackle in their future? It's historically deep in tackles, and we all presume, yours truly included, oh yeah, Cardinals are taking a tackle in the first round at some point, if not the top of the second round. Really? Maybe Ball. Not. They still need D-line, edge, they need corner, I mean, center, receiver. There are five other positions you could easily put ahead of offensive tackle right now.
Tom Bresnahan, go ahead and Google it. Tom Bresnahan was a great offensive line coach. He believed his philosophy was draft tackles, make them guards. Mm. So that they could always go out to tackle if they had to do that. Draft tackles, make them guards.
What's also interesting, they signed Evan Brown as a free agent, the veteran and starting center for the Seahawks all of last season, former starting center in Detroit as well. So you have another veteran center now on the roster to go with Yelda Froholt. So they've been building the O-line, but maybe they don't build it through the draft like we all presumed. At least they have enough on paper right now to play the season. We'll see. By the way, learn more about Arizona Cardinals season tickets, premium seating group tickets, and the all-new luxury field seating experiences. The 2024 home opponents include the Bears, Chargers, Patriots, Jets, Lions, Commanders, and the NFC West. Just go to azcardinals.com/tickets for all the info and check out those new luxury field seating experiences. That is something to behold, no doubt about it. Special thanks, as always, Jim Almohandro, Cody Fincher, Matt Lazarus, to Bilal Nichols, our guest, the new free agent defensive lineman. Thank you for your time. Ron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. We continue with the offseason. What offseason? There's always something to talk about on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert, right on the price, right on the corner of the Santan 202 freeway in Val Vista. The Rage is brought to you by SeatGeek, your ticket to great seats, and by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcast. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.